Clive Brooks, Coventry Hospital Radio.
Hello, good evening and welcome to the Request Hour here on CHR, Coventry Hospital Radio. It's a little bit of a different show tonight because I'm going to be joined in the studio in a minute by the fantastic Dom. Most of my regular listeners know that Dom is from Talking Therapies. He makes me laugh, so it's good. He makes my wife laugh as well, which is really good. So anyway, you're listening to Coventry Hospital Radio, bringing music, comfort and conversation to patients, visitors and staff across UHCW. Like I said, I'm Clive Brooks, and tonight's programme is about something that matters deeply. This February marks LGBT plus History Month, but this isn't about history, it's about belonging, identity, mental health, and love. And joining me, like I said, in the studios is Dom from NHS Talking Therapies at Coventry and Warwickshire Partnership Trust. Hello, Dom.
Good evening, Clive, and everyone. Good evening.
How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Back doing it, which I'm really enjoying. But it seems like ages I haven't seen you.
I know.
Normally you're in and you make me laugh so much. I need my fix, Dom. That's what I said. But before we begin, mate, just briefly, what is NHS Talking Therapies and who is it there for?
So, good evening, everyone. So, like I said, my name's Dominic, and I'm a CBT therapist for the NHS Talking Therapies Service. I'm based within the South Warwickshire team. So, NHS Talking Therapies, so we are a service where we support people with common mental health difficulties. So, those are things like low mood, anxiety, stress, and panic. But we may also then support people with a little bit more complex and severe difficulties where we offer assessments and then we offer either therapy through our service, so things like cognitive behavioural therapy, or we may then give other contact details for other services that will probably be seen as more suitable to be able to support an individual.
Which is brilliantly explained. It's why I always let Talking Therapist guys do it, because I always get mixed up. But yeah, I mean... Like you said, tonight's a little bit different. We're going to be talking about the LGBT plus group tonight, isn't it? Because I know they have loads of issues in. We're going to get into a little bit in a minute. But just to be sure, rest assured anyone listening tonight, this is the free confidential NHS support for anxiety, depression and low mood, just like Dom said. I mean, Dom, some people might wonder, again, I've got to apologise because I've got my back here because I'm reading off the screen, so sorry. Some people might wonder, why is a mental health service like Talking Therapies making LGBT plus marking LGBT plus History Month, as you know, being dyslexic, I have to really say the letters, so sorry. So because when people hear History Month, just like I did, they might think it's about the past. But from a psychological point of view, this feels very present. So why does it matter now?
So I think it's very, very big question and a good question, you know.
Thanks.
I suppose you know, one, it is sort of February in the UK is sort of LGBT plus History Month, so that's where we celebrate it. In other areas of the world, so it's in October in certain areas like the US and Canada, so that's when it is also National Coming Out sort of day as well. And the reason being is, I suppose it's there to, well, for various different reasons. I suppose, for one, it's a symbol of, I suppose, inclusivity. Also about everyone really remembering about what has happened and how that actually may affect people back then and now as well. But also I see it very much as, I suppose, a celebration of being able to sort of think about our own identities in sexual and gender identity and what we can do ourselves to celebrate that to move forward.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, why do we need it? A lot of straight people say, why do we need Pride Month or LGBT Month? And I suppose it's because even in this day and age, I don't want to label it, but LGBT community plus community still get attacked. So I suppose by having, do you call it Pride Month or do you just call it LGBT plus month?
Well, I suppose there is a Pride Month. I'm pretty sure it's later in the year.
Okay,
it might be about June, I think, or I have to go back to my notes with that. But the point is that I suppose going to your question is, so there is a concept that could be considered, which we might call heteronormity. So it's about society and culture all being based around heterosexual, cisgender sort of living life principles. And I suppose if you think about it like that, that anyone that might have a different sexual and gender identity may then start to, I suppose, be viewed as different, and that can then start to cause different things such as judgments, biases, and that can be indirect and direct. So you were saying about like direct abuse that someone might have, but again, that might just be little things that people aren't aware of that they do, but actually that in itself can cause, I suppose, disharmony, you know, amongst different groups and I suppose society in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, when I researched this, and as I told you many times before, I've been speaking to you, being a straight married man, this doesn't, I wouldn't say it doesn't affect me, but I don't know the ins and outs of it. Even though when I had my pub, we did a pride night in the pub, which I thought was fantastic.
I
really loved it. I loved the music and I loved the feeling around it. But I've read online sort of thing, visibility saves life. What does that really mean emotionally? Visibility saves life. Do you have any idea?
Yeah. So I suppose if you think, you know, the opposite is being invisible. And I suppose if you think about, so I use the term sexual and gender identity because that is about the key thing, someone's identity.
Yeah.
You know, sexual identity is sexuality. It's looking at sort of, you know, it might be straight, gay, might be bisexual, it might be various different sexual identities in between, which there are a lot of different ones.
There seems to be a lot more nowadays.
Yeah, definitely. I think because of the fact that it's very much about each own individual and what they define as their identity. Again, gender identity, so that's different to gender, because gender is more biological based, being female, male. You've got then obviously gender identity, so that might then include cisgender, that might also then include transgender, might also include non-binary as well. So there's a wide range of different sexual and gender identities where I suppose some of them are more evolving, like you were saying, but that then can make someone feel quite invisible, that actually they're much more smaller populations and they're minority groups, where in our service, that is something where it can be viewed as a protected characteristics of diversity. So you've got race, religion, gender and sexual identity is another one. And because it's more of a minority group, there's a lot more worse outcomes that can come from mental health. So that's where visibility is really, really key and important. You know, that in some ways it might be someone in those communities that becomes visible as a role model, but that might lead someone to then having more stigma, more biases, more abuse that could happen. Yeah. But I suppose it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
It has to start somewhere.
One of my friends I was talking to when he knew you was going to come on with, and I was going to do LGBT plus, after he stopped laughing, because he said, you're doing it, weren't you? Okay. He said there is a lot more now around that community. But for years gone by, there's been different males and females. You've had strong males. You've had the males who are more loving and caring. So even being straight, there's different straights. There's that guy you can go and talk to who's got that empathy, and that guy you go and talk to, a guy can smash him in the face. So even being like male and female, there's so many different characteristics in that, isn't there? And I suppose that's where LGBT plus has gone, isn't it? Because there's so many different characteristics in that. That's about right, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think it's all about visibility in terms of breaking the norms.
Yes.
Yeah, that actually, you know, what is normal?
And that's going to lead me to this next, the song we're going to have a quick song break so I can get some water because my mouth is a bit dry. But you're listening to Coventry Hospital Radio, and still to come tonight, we're going to explore why celebration matters as much as awareness for mental health That still exists with NHS Talking Therapies, Dom, and it's after becoming more inclusive and a practical advice if you're struggling. So stay with us. I'm going to play Lady Gaga, Born This Way. Yeah, you're listening to Coventry Hospital Radio with myself, Clive Brooks, and I'm joined in the studio with the fantastic Dom from Talking Therapies. I just played Born This Way by Lady Gaga because when I did my research, this came up in one of the top 10 songs where the LGBT community listened to and danced to.
Yep, definitely.
which is good, Jen, so I don't want to make an idiot of myself and play something that's totally different, because later on I got Shirley Bassey, I am what I am, so imagine that. So, Dom, we often hear statistics about the LGBT plus individuals can experience higher rates of anxiety or depression. Is it identifying itself that causes distress, or is it how society has history responded to that identity?
Sorry.
That's okay. He's just laughing at the way I got through these questions, because as you know, I'm dyslexic and all these letters confuse me. Dom, can it confuse me? But yeah, so is it do they respond to the identity historically, or do you think it's just they're more aware now?
I think it's both. You know, in effect, I think that it's our history, plus also the culture and the society that we live in, that has obviously then made more vulnerabilities come in. But likewise as well, everyone, I very much view it as everyone is on their own journey, whether that be that someone is cisgender, sort of male, female, whether someone is sort of different in terms of their gender and sexual identity, that everyone is on that journey, and that in itself can be quite unknown and uncertain. So that in itself can provoke anxiety, stress, things such as that. And so because of that, that's where, you know, our service, for example, may then sort of work with the communities in order so that then we can then support people in the most appropriate and suitable way for them.
Yeah, because we are talking about the LGBT plus community and History Month, how does family acceptance, or sadly rejection, shape someone's long-term mental well-being?
Well, that can very well, I suppose rejection is a really huge thing for a number of individuals, but within our communities, yes, that can be a very big thing. And especially if then you have people close to you, whether that is biological family, that then you're feeling there is some sort of rejection, that can have a really big impact, purely in the sense, if you think about it, that, you know, that you're growing up in your formative lives, developing sort of your bonds with individuals, within your family members and things. So because of that, if you're getting rejections, you're getting individuals who are putting barriers up, who are not accepting of who you are, that really strikes people in the inside of them. You know, you think about identity, it can then have a really big impact on someone's identity about, well, if these individuals are rejecting me, then who else is going to accept me? Who else is going to be there? And whereas you think about acceptance, that's where one of those things that may be useful and important to consider going forward for each of us is, where and who could I get some sort of acceptance for who I am?
Yeah.
And that might be about joining certain societies, joining certain groups. I suppose there is a big, name that I might call it, which is known in the LGBT plus communities, which is about having your chosen family. So the people that are closest to you, that you develop those bonds, where you can then be your true natural selves. And that can then help someone in the long term as well with their mental health. But likewise, rejection is a very big thing. And that can be obviously then looked at in terms of family settings. But then at the same time, you think about societal rejection.
Yeah, workplace. I just think when you said they can become themselves, it just reminded me when I had my pubs, we had a chef who was really good. He was such a good chef, and he was straight, or so we thought. And then it came out because his partner took ill, and they had to ring the pub, and we answered the phone, and he was like, "Oh, his partner, let's just call him Marcus, is in hospital." And we're like, what? Marcus? Mm. I thought. And then he rushed out. He came back a couple of days later. Thankfully, his partner was okay. And he said to us, he said, I better tell you I'm gay. Mm. And we was like, so what? We don't care. You're a brilliant chef. He's changed in that instant from being the guy we knew to being a fantastic guy. He just looked so much more relaxed and that lot. And we got to know him a lot more better. And he became a really, really good friend. Not because he came out and said, oh, I'm gay, I want to be your friend. It's because it was him. It was true. And I found that really strange that he worked me for such a long time. And you don't say to people, oh, are you pregnant? Are you gay? When's the baby due?
Yeah.
Well, I've done that a couple of times. But you don't say that. But when he came out, it looked like, looking into him, a massive weight got took out of him.
Yeah.
And he could be himself at work. And he was brilliant. He was still a really, really good chef. That didn't make a difference to us. But when you had conversations with him, we learned so much more about him because he could share that. Oh, I went to the pictures the other day with Marcus, or went to pictures with so, or did this with so and so, and it was just brilliant. So I suppose, like you said, you look for that different family, and that's what we came to him.
Yeah, and I think it was amazing what you just shared, Clive, because of that level of someone feeling accepted for who they were, and then that led someone to them being able to feel a lot more comfortable to be who they were. And that in itself is where I'm so pleased and proud of NHS talking therapies, because that is something where, you know, a lot of people in itself can find it really difficult to reach out for support. You know, if you then think about diverse groups, straight away, if they're having a lot of, you know, abuse, rejection, you know, from society, from close loved ones, to be able to reach out to something like our service, when they then are engaging with ourselves, that then can really help someone just in itself start to feel comfortable and build in that acceptance about, I have someone who's a therapist that is listening to me and my struggles, and then, I'm feeling like I'm being listened to, I'm feeling like this is okay for me to be able to have my voice, and then straight away, that can help people start to calm down in difficulties like low mood and anxiety, but then they start to feel more supported to then be able to be going forward with who they are.
My old chef, I know he's going to be listening to this tonight, and he's going to be laughing because he said to me, he said, if I'd been a rubbish chef, would you still have been the same? I was like, no, I'd have got rid of you. I'd gone into good chef, but no, I wouldn't have. But like I said, we're talking about LGBTQ+. I haven't got it up. I have to think then, because being dyslexic. Yes, I haven't got it in front of me. LGBTQ+, with the fantastic Dom from Talking Therapies. I mean, Dom, I thought we am. Awareness is really important, but what tangible shifts has happened inside the NHS Talking Therapies? You had a network event recently. What was it, the purpose?
Yeah.
See how good I am.
So we did a network event last week. Now, that was within our main organisation, so Coventry Warwickshire Partnership NHS Trust. Brilliant, amazing mental health sort of trust that I work for. So Talking Therapies is a part of that. And so within sort of the trust, we have what we call the LGBT+ staff network. So it's an opportunity of inclusivity for people all around CWPT, as we would use the acronym for, where they would be a part of the LGBT+ and allies community within sort of CWPT. And again, anyone can sort of come to these events. And I was very privileged to be asked by the chair, so Alex Cotton, to sort of, I suppose, contribute. So I then sort of, with Talking Therapies, had thought, let's do a presentation on LGBT+ History Month, but also incorporated about some of the information that is about sort of the here and now, sort of the outcomes, but also then about, well, what can we do about this then? You know, what can we do about that? So had a really big event with that, obviously with the presentation that I delivered. It seemed to be received really well. Also then at the same time, it led to a lot of us being able to connect together, to be able to talk about sort of as staff members, but also then how we then help sort of patients and clients in the services that we work in, and ideas and we can do in order to then promote sort of, I suppose, gender and sexual identity, but also then being inclusive within that as well. So, I suppose it seemed to go really well. I really enjoyed it myself. So,
which is good. Yeah. I mean, funny you say that, you're networking. I mean, Coventry City a couple of seasons ago, one of their season ticket holders was gay. Mm-hmm. And him and his partner had a bit of abuse when he went to the football, mm-hmm. so they stopped going for a couple of years. So he then, two seasons ago, he made Proud Scarlet Blues, mm-hmm. and it's a inclusive LGBT plus concept now.
Yeah.
So you can go with them, and then if you're a single person, mm-hmm. you can go and go with them to the football games, and that works really well. And that's called the Proud Scarlet Blues. You go to their website, that'll tell you about that. I was talking to a little bird the other day, and he spread a bit of word about you. Which I'm going to ask you about in a minute, but I can't wait, because you got in your hand, you're holding a red love heart, and you won't tell me what it is, but I'm going to make you tell me now, live on air, Mr. Dom from Talking Therapies. What the hell is it? Tell me now!
So Clive, something that I've been doing intermittently now and on and off again, like when I'm out and about, is sort of random acts of kindness.
Okay.
And you sort of got to think, well, you know, we've just had Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You know, spreading the love. Obviously, you know, love is love. That's how I view it very much as the LGBT plus community and promotion of that. So I've got a little tin, which is a love a day keeps the doctor away.
Okay.
And inside.
Oh, he's got sweets.
Please take one of those love sweets.
Oh, it's like rock from mm-hmm. what you get in the seaside. And in the middle of it, it's got love with a love heart.
Yeah.
Kim's listening, right? So I'm going to tell Kim this is for her because... Oh, no, he's going to give you one, Kim.
You can have as many for Kim.
Oh, well, okay.
Sending the love to Kim.
You calm down a bit, my dumb. Oh, that's brilliant. I would eat it now, but I'll break my false teeth. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to get it. I'm going to suck it on the way home, but no, I'm going to take it home and I'll have it later. We just played Shirley Bassey, I Am What I Am. Mm-hmm. She's become a massive gay icon, ain't she? Yep. Which is really strange because mm-hmm. my dad used to listen to her many, many, many years ago before he sadly passed away. And she's been around since day dot, mm-hmm. what affairs with it. But she took the gay community in her stride before the gay community knew they had a community, didn't she? Mm. And it's amazing because I watch old things about her, and it's like the Virgin advert when they used it, I Am mm-hmm. What I Had, and they had the steward. It's just strange, isn't it, about how, I want to say the LGBT Q+, I've got to write it down because my dyslexia, is more accepted, but mm-hmm. we still have them issues, don't we, where people sometimes don't feel it. But before I talk about that, I want to talk about something. What I said to you, I was talking to somebody and I just forgot to mention it then, but someone told me you got a new role and something about you're now a champion. So knowing you like I do, I'm thinking it's not a boxing unless you're going to beat me up. But no. So what are you a champion of, Mr. Dom?
Well, Clive, just to correct you on that, I'm a man of many talents.
I know you are.
So I am a what we call an LGBT plus champion. So it's all based around sort of guidance that's come in that helps us within NHS Talking Therapies. So it's a guidance from the LGBT plus foundation, and fundamentally it's a lot of different guidance that is there to try and help our services be able to, I suppose, be promoting, be inclusive, and how we might then work in therapy with individuals of diversity groups, and this one in particular with the LGBT plus community. So that's where I'm at, really, is
which
I'm
is
sort
brilliant.
Of championing that to help promote our service with that.
And you are the best champion I could think of, which is brilliant. So let me get it back now to Talking Therapies. So awareness is really important, like we said, but what tangible shifts has happened inside the NHS Talking Therapies to make you offer this service to LGBT community?
Yeah.
That's what I've got to say, though, right? I mean, I've just got to say, it's just coming to my head. People might be listening and think, oh, LGBTQ, get all these services and they have this special show. Mm. Me and you have done special shows with mental health.
Yeah.
People who feel suicidal, we've done a special show on that. I've done a show with ladies in menopause with Talking Therapies.
Yep.
Over the last year, I think I've done about 12 shows for different topics in Talking Therapies. So please don't think, oh, you're not part of the LGBT LGBTQ community. You can't go talking therapy because you can go to them for anything when you feel you need help. So please don't think, oh, we've got this special month and it's only for this. It's not. Talking therapies, they cover lows. They cover menopause. They cover families what just had a baby, including dads, which I found really fascinating when I did it with Beth not long ago. And also, you can go to Coventry Hospital Radio website, and on our page we have a talking therapy page with all our interviews from everyone at Talking Therapies, and it's got all their links as well, which I'm sure Dom is going to give us a little bit later on. So,
Clive, sorry, I was going to say, just adding to what you were saying there, is, you know, I think that, you know, it's brilliant in what you just said, being it's all about awareness generally.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that we're focusing at the moment in terms of this, or myself, I'm focusing this month on LGBT plus History Month, because likewise, there may be communities out there, you know, the LGBT plus community that might be thinking, well, hang on a minute, like, why are you putting a spotlight on us?
Yeah.
Like, actually, I don't want actually people to know about this or things. And actually, it's all about all of us being aware and inclusive and supporting each other.
Yeah. And next month, we're doing mental health, ain't we? Because it's mental health month next month, isn't it?
Yes.
And I know from meeting you and meeting Talking Therapies that our conversations has helped, because I was speaking to a patient about it and he listened to one of the shows we did and he sought help. And
there we go.
He hasn't, as far as I know, had a relapse and he was having them quite often. Okay. So thank you. And thank you to all the Talking Therapies. But Ian, how do you measure whether inclusion work is working and how do you make sure that it isn't just a February conversation? So it dies off.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll come into that February sort of idea.
Yeah,
you know,
what
we're celebrating in terms of this month, just in the sense that, you know, some of this, for example, is all based upon history of things like, have you ever heard, Clive, of Section 28?
No.
So Section 28, that was done in, it was done in 1988, it was in the Local Government Act, which in effect was sort of no promotion of LGBT plus material resources. You know, that's a section of it that fundamentally got brought in by the government at the time.
Wow.
And that caused a lot of discrimination, so bias, a lot of difficulties that even now, when we were talking in the staff network with CVPT, individuals were even stating, even though that was repealed in 2003 in the UK, so meaning they got rid of it,
good,
it still affects people now.
Wow.
So if you think about it even like that, a law that had come in where it was prohibiting fundamentally promotion of being gay and things.
And that was in the 80s?
Yeah.
So not that long, so I was saying that 40 years ago, but in the 80s, I was growing up, I had been a teenager. And it was obvious to me some of my friends were gay. I never realised there was a law that they could... That's mad. Especially, I say this day and age, but back in the 80s, we was a progressive country.
I didn't know
that's really mad.
And so that's where it's almost like highlighting things like this in the History Month, that actually it makes people realise a little bit more that, well, actually, there's still after effects of things like that from...
Because people used to get put in prison in the 60s because Oliver... Not Oliver Cromwell, but it was a famous actor, weren't they, who was put in prison because of... And then Stephen Fry, he had a real Tory time, didn't he, when he was young?
Yeah.
But I didn't... That's mad that he's about 80s, though.
If you think about it back sort of then, you know, that actually, you know, being gay was a diagnosable mental health disorder.
Yes.
You know, and for a long time, all of these things ran alongside that actually you can hear just how impacted that would have been on these communities, where even now we are, I suppose, finding there are still the after effects with anxiety and low mood from that. Because the other thing I wanted to mention with that was also, if you think about it, you know, we had in America in 1969, there was the Stonewall riots, which started off the whole entire LGBT plus rights movement. And we had the rainbow flag that was sort of created by Gilbert Baker back in 1978. Well, they're really, I suppose, iconic things for the communities. But then last week, the governments in America had decided that they were going to take down the flag that was outside the Stonewall Inn in New York. It's now been put back up, and apparently there's going to be individuals that are trying to sue the government now from that. But if you think about it, that actually that's a part of the history. Even a week ago, that started to cause a real big uprising from individuals, upset, distress. And obviously then it's now been sort of rectified at the moment. But you can still hear that actually, yes, it's February, we're trying to promote awareness of it, but there are things that are still going on, including, you know, in other parts of the world,
yeah,
that people, you know, to be sort of gay, for example, in certain countries, you can be killed for that.
Yeah.
You can actually be killed. Like you just mentioned about people like Stephen Fry, fundamentally, people can still now be put in prison because of their sexuality. And, you know, you think about individuals such as transgender individuals.
That is a massive controversial subject, isn't it? And I don't want to get into politics of it. I don't want to say men shouldn't be in women's sports or women shouldn't be in men's sports. I don't want to get into that. But years ago, there was is the word transvestite wrong to use, or is that the right word? There was men what dressed as women because they felt normal. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I'm trying to, as I told you before, being straight. Yeah. I don't want to use the wrong language, and it was never an issue. Mm-hmm. We had someone in our street when I was growing up, and one day he would be a man, but then some of the days he'd be dressed as a woman.
Yeah,
we thought it was a bit weird, to be honest. I did, being a young kid, but. Yeah. We didn't go out and stone him. We didn't go out and call him names. As you grow up, you accept it because this is how he felt. He felt some days that he was this alter ego of this person. But just recently, I mean, for the last couple of 3 years, I've noticed being a straight man, but the trans movement and people online who say I'm trans, they get a shed load of abuse, and it's mad, isn't it? It's really mad. I don't understand why. I don't like keep using the word straight, but it's the only word that comes to mind. Yeah. Why straight people feel so threatened by it? And I understand that if my daughter was in the toilet and a transvestite came in the toilet, you might be a bit worried. But I don't think, and I don't know if there's any figures, facts. I don't think that because you're LGBTQ or trans, you're any more danger to my daughter than I am to being anybody else's daughter. Yeah, I don't think there's massive a data out there saying, they're more dangerous. But so I don't understand why there's so much hate. Maybe you could enlighten me.
Well,
or help me understand it.
Well, I suppose some of it might be about lack of knowledge and awareness.
Yeah.
You know, that actually you think...
Fake news?
Yeah, there could be various people's agendas being pushed. Like, yes. So if you think about... You know, in areas of the world where there's politics and governance whereby individuals might get pushed in terms of it's wrong to do this, it's wrong to do that, then everyone else then starts to follow sort of that suit, which is where it's really important. We were highlighting earlier on about people being visible and sort of, I suppose, standing up for that or being role models for it. I was going to come to something, another little surprise that I'm going to drop to yourself and people.
Ooh, okay.
So... You were mentioning about, obviously, transvestites. We're talking about sort of, you know, that idea of gender and that idea about, you know, clothing, for example.
Yes.
Well, this top that I've got on here is actually a women's top.
I think you look gorgeous.
Thank you. But
you always do. Every time I see you, you look fantastic.
But the reason why I want to point that out right now is that it highlights about our own opinions and judgments and about, well, I can just walk around and wear this and actually... Like, you know... I wouldn't know. There we go.
Unless I was a tailor and realised the buttons did up on the wrong side.
There we go.
Why do the buttons do up and go on?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
no
me.
But the point is, though, is, well, actually me revealing it, what, does that then make me less of a person to another person? But actually, no, we're just genderising clothes.
Yeah.
And actually, it is okay for us to wear what we want.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we are this or that or the other. It just means we are being our unique individual selves.
And you look good in it. Okay. We just talk about the trans movement. It's just coming to my head. Danny, do you know Danny LaRue? I bet you do.
I've heard of the name.
In the 60s, he used to be a comedian and he used to dress up as a woman. That's how he was, Danny LaRue. Dressed up. He never got no hate. He had loads of people laughing. Dame Edna Edwards used to be...
Yeah.
Hello, my darlings.
Lily Savage.
The fantastic Paula Grady. Mm-hmm. Lily Savage. There was none of it, was there? The new guy, Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
He'd done it for years and years and years.
Yeah.
But just recently, he's been getting a little bit of hate because one day is Eddie, another day is his alter ego, if you can call it that. Like I said, I don't understand it. But let's just say, I've got a listener, and they're in the hospital. It's really rare to have a listener on my show, but because you're here, I'm going to get loads. But yeah, so we've got a listener. Someone's listening tonight, and they're lying in the hospital bed, or they're listening online, and they identify as LGBT+, and feel really nervous about reaching out. So they're going to reach out to talking therapies. What happens from the very first contact?
Yeah, so, and that's where some of the movements that we're doing in the service are, I suppose, really helpful and inclusive. And it's always been there. It's just that we're working on it even more. So there's that idea of, well, just in itself, reaching out to our service. So that could be referrals, that might be self-referrals. But then they will then obviously have contact where, if they are being booked in by our telephone referral centre, they may then ask certain things such as, oh, okay, you know, for example, pronouns, and what sort of pronoun you may want to be referred as, your preferred name. They may check over some of those details, but then when you're in the assessment with someone like myself, then it might be that we are exploring things. We're looking at, obviously, what's the main problem causing and impacting how you're feeling on day to day. And I suppose the key thing I always say to someone is that I, as a therapist, will very much only go with what someone tells me. I'm not here to force someone. In terms of, okay, you've got to tell me what your sexual and gender identity is. And I even find with individuals that I may be doing therapy with where I've not even had a conversation with them about what their gender and sexual identity is. But it may then come up, and it is all about, like, just, you know, I suppose connecting with that person.
Yeah.
It's not about, okay, you're this. Oh my gosh, we need to make it into a really big thing. Or, okay, we just got to ignore it. It's about you. And about what you want. And some of those things to do with gender and sexual identity, the LGBT+ sort of considerations, it is very much then about, if it's a problem with the circumstances someone's in, then it might be, well, in our service, we would then look at, if there might be low mood and anxiety that's going on, okay, well, how can we support with that? Where we wouldn't then necessarily start looking directly at someone's gender and sexual identity, and we need to consider how we change things or anything like that. It's about, that is who you are. And is that something that we want to promote more to lessen low mood and anxiety? Is it that, well, actually, someone is happy, comfortable with their identity, and actually it's low mood and anxiety that then we can then consider and offer support with? That's how I would, as a CBT therapist, be able to help and support someone.
Which is brilliant.
Coventry Hospital Radio, your local bedside station.
So, just, I think you just answered this. So, if someone wasn't out and they came to talking therapies, obviously it'd be a really safe place. They could say, look, I feel a bit low, I feel a bit this, or I feel a bit that, but I'm also part of the LGBTQ, but I haven't come out. That's okay, isn't it? Say to you, and when they're in therapy, there wouldn't be no, we got to go and tell everybody.
Yeah, of course. Well, for one, it's all private and confidential. So we don't even disclose to anyone sort of in terms of, you know, their private information and things. Therapy is very private. But, I suppose everyone is so different, you know, and that actually it's not about sort of me as a therapist. It's about the person. And likewise, it's also not about someone having to feel like they have to come out. You know, I suppose I view it very much as, if someone is to do that or does do that, like, I feel very privileged that someone felt comfortable enough and safe enough, because something like coming out is a very unique experience that only this community and individuals of, you know, this nature will experience.
Yes.
You know, that you know, individuals who are heterosexual, you know, or straight, well, how often do individuals like that have to come out?
Nah. Well, I do quite a lot because people say to me, I look like part of the LGBTQ community, so I'm not there. But no, yeah, but I see what you mean. But Dom, for some people, this month, History Month, can bring pride. Mm-hmm. For others, though, it can bring a lot of pain. Mm. If someone's listening, feeling exhausted, isolated, or conflicted, what would you say directly to them now? Say if I said, well, in fact, tell them now. Okay. Say something directly. Let me tell them on the radio, Dom.
Okay. So, firstly, I'd say, you know, if it is causing a real big impact in someone's life, then of course, please feel free to come and reach out to Coventry Warwickshire Partnership NHS Trust. And especially with ourselves, Talking Therapies, you know, that's where we can then help and support someone in terms of those areas. But I suppose it is just about that idea of, for me, I keep coming back to love and self-love and about what is going to be good for you in terms of what you can do. You know, it might be about contributing towards others around you if there is that element of someone feeling like they're in a place to do that. But likewise, I always think of it as, you know, that actually how can we support ourselves doing something nice that is going with our values. So if there is a value in, you know what, I am, I don't know, a gay man that is quite isolated and lonely, I'm feeling quite tired and exhausted, that actually I don't feel like I can really sort of connect with others around me, and I feel that shame inside to do that, then it might be, okay, so what activities could I do then? It might be, when I go to an inclusive LGBT plus sort of bar, where I may then sort of connect with others around me.
Yeah,
with that, it could be about.
We got some fantastic bars in Coventry.
The new
yard.
Yes, the yard.
That seems to be going really, really well, which is good. And then you got the one by the ring road.
So Glamorous.
Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, the pub I'm thinking about. Oh yeah, the pub's called Glamorous. Sorry, I thought you meant me. Yes. So there is loads of places that where they can go meet new people.
Yes.
Which is good because and I think because Coventry. We are a fantastic community. We have so many different communities in and around Coventry, and we don't tend to judge. I mean, the Coventry Pride is really good. I've been to that a couple of times and that lot. And then, like I said, the yard is fantastic. I follow their socials mainly because of JD, who does BBC and that lot. I follow him. She puts loads on that lot, which is really, really good. I just want to tell the listeners, because you may be listening and think, I want to get in touch with Talking Therapies. So I just picked up our Coventry Hospital Radio website, and go on there to interviews, and you see the Talking Therapies page, and it tells you how you can do it. So correct me if I'm wrong, you can do a self-referral by going to Talking Therapies page, which is www.talkingtherapies.covwarkpt.nhs.uk self-referral. That is covwarkpt, so covwarkpt.nhs.uk NHS UK self-referral. So you can do that, and that's just a form where you have a chatbot, and then you put in, it's like a tick box inside, but whatever you tick goes to a different part.
Yes.
Look at me knowing what I'm talking about.
I was going to say, I didn't even have to do anything like that, Clive. Thank you. We'll come and get you in soon enough.
because I learned so much. You can go to your own doctor or your health professional and then say you'd like to talk to Talking Therapies, which is good. Or one of the easiest ways I've found where I know people have done it, they use the phone number, which is easy. It's 02476 671 090. 02476 671 090. Or if you can't remember all that, just go to the Coventry Hospital Radio page, go to interviews, and then you'll see the Talking Therapy page, and it tells you all that. I'm just looking down because we had Dom, we got Catherine, we had Letta, we had so many interviews there, which is brilliant.
Also, can I just add in there as well? So we've also got the social media pages as well.
Oh, yes, of course
so
you can.
We've got
X
is at CWPT Talk Therapies. And that's also the same for Instagram as well. So at CWPT Talk Therapies. And then you've got the Facebook page, which is CWPT Talking Therapies. And again, that's all a part of Coventry and Warwickshire Partnership NHS Trust. So again, you can go to their website as well. You may also find everyone that actually you will see a picture of me on the website, main website as well. So
Dom, let me ask you, when you look 5 years ahead into your crystal ball, what would success look like for the inclusive mental health care?
Well, I suppose in 5 years' time, because I remember when I started in mental health in 2007, just mental health in itself was just about to start really hitting in terms of awareness and everything. And so where we've come to and come along has been really, really brilliant and remarkable. But I always feel there's always going to be things. So in 5 years' time, I'd like to hope and think that within the hospital here, within our service, that we would be able to then support everyone, regardless of their gender, sexual identity, whether it's race, religion, you know, and in an inclusive manner. So it being about them and about what they want and us being responsive to that, to then be able to then improve physical health and mental health, low mood, anxiety, depression. That's how I'd like to see it, because I still think it will be much better in 5 years than what it is now, which is still brilliant in where we're at. It's just that there will always be something, because society, cultures are always changing, always evolving.
Like you said, it's the people's agenda, what they want to push. I know from having two teenage kids, it's a lot harder being teenagers now than it was when I was, if I can remember that far back, when I was back at school and being a teenager. So what would you say to a young 16-year-old listening tonight who isn't sure where they belong? So what would you say to them, mate?
Well, I would firstly say that you do belong, you know, that it may not feel like it at the moment. And, you know, if that is generally, then again, it's sort of almost reach out, you know, for any support that you feel could be really helpful. But likewise as well, you can contact our service if it is low mood and anxiety related and other difficulties like that. But again, you know, I just think that you've got to focus on yourself, you know, that it will get better. It's okay that it's not okay, but the biggest thing is love, and it's about self-love for yourself and finding that.
Brilliant, Dom. I couldn't have said it any better myself. Thank you so much for joining me for the last hour. I've loved it.
Thank you.
Tonight we talked about history, about identity, but most importantly about being belonging. Whether you're listening tonight, whoever you love, however you identify, you deserve kindness. You deserve understanding, and most of all, you deserve support. If somebody you heard tonight has resonated, maybe let this be your moment to reach out, because, as Don said, love is love, and help is there. My thanks to Don from NHS Talking Therapies. It's been brilliant having you on. From me, Clyde Brooks, look after yourselves, look after each other. May tomorrow just feel that little bit lighter. I'm back again from 6 o'clock with Moz Baker on the PUSB show. Until then, I'm going to leave you with a fantastic song by Christine Aguilera, because you're beautiful. Dom, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye.